Good morning. Welcome to the Business, Finance, and Facilities meeting for March 5th, 2026. Klaus, can you please take roll?
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Vice Chair Brager.
Here.
Regent Fernandez.
Present.
Regent Gokuchia.
Present.
Regent Goodman.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I will move to public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 987-9092-3799 and passcode 777-777. Is there any public comment here at CSN? Please go ahead. State your name and spell it, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning, Regents. My name is Isabel Hatch, H-A-T-C-H for the record. I serve as the Director of Government Affairs for the Associated Students of the University of Nevada, representing the undergraduate student body since 1898. With the lease extension up for approval, I would like to take this opportunity to recognize the Valley Road Field Lab Experiment Station and the crucial work they do for Nevada. The Field Lab has been revolutionizing agriculture research since 1899, beginning at 60 acres of land and later growing to encompass state-of-the-art research facilities, equestrian facilities, and large-scale agribusiness initiatives. Also located at the experiment station is the Desert Farming Initiative, which supports small farm resilience through farm and plant nursery training for the northern Nevada climate and serves Nevada farmers through focused agriculture industry programs. The University of Nevada, as the sole land-grant institution in the state, has a particular responsibility to serve our community and the land we inhabit at the Reno and Tahoe campuses. The Associated Students are glad to support the extension of this lease, and we look forward to reading the research the Experiment Station publishes this year. Thank you for this opportunity to highlight the Valley Road Field Lab and the Desert Farming Initiative today, and go Pack.
Thank you very much. Seeing no other public comment here at CSN, SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
We have callers online for public comment.
Please go ahead.
Hello, caller with the phone number ending in 6288. Please unmute by pressing *6 and spell your last name for the record. You have 3 minutes to address the committee. Still on mute. Once again, phone number ending in 6288. Please unmute by pressing *6. State your name and spell it for the record, and you have 3 minutes to address the committee. Sorry, we're still not getting anything from the public caller online.
We will have a second public comment period at the end of the meeting as well. So I will, at this time, since we're unable to hear that public comment from the phone, I think it's prudent to move on to item number two, consent items. Based on advice from legal counsel, I will just be making a quick disclosure based on items 2B and 2C. So pursuant to NRS 281A, I'm disclosing that I'm a graduate student at UNLV. I believe that the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in this situation would not be materially affected by the information presented in agenda items 2B and 2C, so I will be voting on this. Thank you. At this time, I'll open it up for discussion or a motion.
I make a motion to accept the consent items, 2A, the minutes, 2B, and 2C.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second? All right, so I have a motion from Regent Brager and a second from Regent Gokuchia. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. I'll move to item number three, second quarter fiscal year 2025-2026 fiscal exceptions for the self-supporting budget. And once again, I will make a disclosure that pursuant to NRS 281A, I'm disclosing that I am a graduate student at UNLV. I believe that the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation would not be materially affected by the information presented in agenda item number three. For this, I'll turn it over to CFO Chris Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Item three on your agenda is the second quarter fiscal year 26 fiscal exception report. So this is as of December 31st, 25. This report lists accounts that closed the quarter with a cash deficit. The report, as in prior iterations, is organized by institution. So you have a report for each institution that's broken into four sections. The first is their operating accounts that end in a deficit. The second is where they may have capital project accounts. Third section, strategic funding accounts, which UNR and UNLV are the only two campuses with that item in their report. And then the fourth section being those that have timing differences. I think for the most part, these are accounts that you've seen in prior iterations, and I know that there are representatives from the campuses available if you have questions on any of the accounts in their reports.
Thank you, Mr. Vitone. I'll open it up for any questions, comments, or motion. Regent Brager.
Susan Brager, for the record, I'd make a motion to accept item number three, second quarter fiscal year exceptions and self-supporting budgets.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second
from Regent Goodman. So I have a motion from Regent Brager and a second from Regent Goodman. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number four, same thing. I will disclose that pursuant to NRS 281A, I'm disclosing that I'm a graduate student at UNLV. I believe that the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation would not be materially affected by the information presented in agenda item number four. So once again, I'll turn it over to CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Chris Vitone, for the record. Item four is the calendar year summer session budget reports. And similar to the changes we made to the self-supporting budgets that we brought back to you in January, this report's been modified. It used to be two reports. It used to be the calendar year 25 budget to actual and then the calendar year 26 new year budget. We've combined it into one report so that in the same report you have the prior year comparison of the budget to actual for calendar year 25 summer session and then also the 26 new year budget with a comparison in the new year budget to both the prior year actual and the prior year budget. Just want to highlight for you, page 8 is a system-wide summary of the summer term budget where you can see there the comparison to prior year actual. You'll see the prior year actual ended with revenues very close to budget, approximately $27,000 over budget. The total sources year-to-date there exceeded uses by about $2.1 million, resulting in a carry-forward balance for the summer session of $9.5 million. The new year budget has just very modest increases in both revenues and expenses over the 25 actuals, which, again, were very, very close to budget as well. So I'll just pause there if there's any questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vitone. Are there any questions? I did want to mention that I appreciate the changes that were made. I do think it makes these budgets more clear for us. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Regent Brager.
No question or comment. If there's no other questions, I'd make a motion to accept item number four.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Thank you. So a motion from Regent Brager to accept the calendar year 2025 summer session budget to actual comparison and calendar year 2026 summer session budgets, and a second from Regent Gokuchia. Any other questions or comments? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number five, fiscal year 2024-25 capital improvement fee report. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho, Chris Fatone for the record. Before I introduce this report, I just want to mention the next three items on your agenda are reports that we implemented last year. So this is the second year of reporting for these three fee reports. These are three reports that just provide information at the close of the year on the uses of these fees by the institutions. I wanted to mention that this is the second year we've presented them at the March quarterly meeting. We do plan to bring these to the December meeting in the future, so they're on the same agenda as your fee balance report that you're seeing on the full board, and just from opening up the time we'll have on BFF when we move the new year budget reports back from December to September also. So it'll just, our goal is to bring these back at the same meeting that you get the normal fee balance report, because you did receive in December the summary of the fee balances that include these three fees, and then you also have on that December agenda things like the technology fee report. And so I just want to try to bring them all to the same agenda so they're all at the same time. So the first item, number five on your agenda, is the capital improvement fee report. The use of the capital improvement fees provided in the handbook Title IV, Chapter 10, Section 12, where the uses are allowed. This report provides the campus-level reporting on their uses, including in their reports where it's applicable, the reference to the board approvals when items were at the level that required board approval. And with that, I'll pause if you have any questions. I know representatives from the campuses are here if you have questions about their reports.
Very good. Thank you. I'll open it up to the committee members for 5, 6, 7, and 8, since these are all reports based on the budget. In case anyone has any questions, if that's okay, Mr. Vitone.
It's okay with me.
I didn't know if you had anything else to add on any of the others, but these are for information only, so I just wanted to verify that if there were any questions or comments regarding those. So I'll open it up now. Regent Goodman? Oh, okay. Great. Any questions from the members? Okay.
A ton of questions, but nothing I can ask.
Great. Okay. Okay. I do just want to mention on number 8, the gift accounts report. I appreciate this report. I think it's an important one for us to see the especially the inactive reports the inactive accounts that come forward. And since this is only the second year and truly the first year that the foundations are reporting on this. On this report, I hope to see some cleanup of these accounts and to really kind of, take care of any of these inactive accounts. And I appreciate each of the institutions going through the several accounts that are there to give us an update on those. And I hope that in the future that those accounts and those reports will be much shorter than they are at this time. So I don't know. I'll open it up to any of the institutions if they would like to comment on that at all. But that's not necessary at this time. It looks like everybody's good. So, okay. All right. Thank you very much. So we went through items number 5 through 8. Like I said, those are for information only. So I just want to pause one last time to make sure that there aren't any other questions. Seeing none, I'll move. Oh, please go ahead, Regent Goodman.
Just to echo what you said, it is great. I it's very important, and it's nice. As fiduciaries, we definitely appreciate it. I appreciate the work.
Thank you. All right, so we will move to item number 9, resolution for the 2016A University Revenue Bond Refunding. And once again, I will just make a disclosure that pursuant to NRS 281A, I'm disclosing that I'm a graduate student at UNLV, and I believe that the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation would not be materially affected by the information presented in agenda item number 9. So with that, I will turn it to CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Chris Vitone for the record. Item number 9 is a request to approve a resolution for refunding the 2016A university revenue bonds that were issued originally to fund the projects at UNLV and UNR. This funded the Center for Molecular Medicine at UNR and the first phase of the Tropicana Garage for UNLV. This refunding is just for interest savings, so it's when we do refundings, it's under your debt policy to achieve interest savings, not for any change or restructuring of the debt. I'll just pause there if you have any questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vitone. I certainly appreciate when there are savings involved, so thank you for bringing this forward to us today. Are there any other questions? Yes, Regent Goodman.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second by Regent Brager.
Thank you very much. I have a motion from Regent Goodman and a second from Regent Brager to approve the resolution allowing NSHE to refund the 2016 university revenue bonds. So with that, I'll open it up for any other questions or comments. Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Item number 10, Facilities Master Plan for TMCC. President Alexander, welcome.
That's right.
Good morning, Chair Carvalho, Vice Chair Brager, and Regent members of the committee. My name is Jeffrey Alexander, President of Truckee Meadows Community College, for the record. I come before you today to present TMCC's new Facilities Master Plan, the full text of which is featured in today's agenda packet. Our Board of Regents handbook requires each institution in NSHE to maintain a Facilities Master Plan, and we completed ours in 2025, supported by the architects at Collaborative Design Studio in Reno. I am joined today on Zoom by Dr. Ayodele Akinola, TMCC's Associate Vice President of Facilities and Campus Operations, who can help to answer any questions that you may have. Our new Facilities Master Plan serves as our college's framework for long-range physical development and infrastructure planning. It focuses on three sites, our Dandini Campus, the William N. Pennington Applied Technology Center on Edison Way, and the Meadowood Center, which together serve the majority of our on-campus student population. The plan is designed to ensure that our facilities can support our academic mission, strategic priorities, and projected enrollment growth over the next 20 years. Our master plan integrates enrollment projections, space utilization analyses, facilities condition assessments, and our strategic goals. It calls for no dramatic changes, and I therefore have no slide deck to show you today. Instead, the plan has been laid out by the architects to emphasize efficient use of existing facilities and targeted remodeling of office and classroom spaces to accommodate forecasted enrollment increases, while limiting the need for future construction. At the same time, the plan recognizes the need to purchase a new building for our fastest-growing applied technology programs, including advanced manufacturing and our School of Architecture. Separately, I will be bringing that item forward for your information as part of the main board agenda later today. Importantly, I should emphasize that the approval of our facilities master plan will not commit our college to any specific timeline or development costs. Instead, it will establish the policy foundation for future capital planning, facilities investments, and space management decisions. This will ensure alignment with NSHE's long-range planning objectives and expectations of fiscal stewardship. With that, I am very glad to submit our 2025 Facilities Master Plan to the committee for your consideration and will gladly answer any questions.
Thank you very much, President Alexander. I'll open it up to members of the committee. Are there any questions or comments? Regent Brager.
If there are no questions or comments, and I just will start say before I make a motion that thank you and conversations with you. I appreciate what you're doing up at the campus and all the extraordinary things that are happening. It really makes a difference for the students up there.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. With that, I would make a motion for acceptance.
Thank you, Regent Brager. Is there a second?
Regent Fernandez, I'll second.
Thank you, Regent Fernandez. Any other discussion regarding TMCC's master facilities plan? Seeing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, President Alexander.
Thank you so much.
Item number 11, resolution for campus waterline and update on related campus developments at Nevada State University. Welcome, President Lopez Laster.
Thank you so much, Chair, Regents. Pleased to be with you today and for this time. Today, we're really looking to accomplish two things. One, to give you a general update of all the fantastic development and initiatives that are happening on campus, as well as sharing and looking for your approval of an item that would solve a critically important water infrastructure issue we've been working on since the inception of the institution. And I'll quickly go through this deck. For everyone that has been on campus, our beautiful Sterling campus, you may not know that of all of our buildings, only two of those have been funded by the state, and that includes the Liberal Arts and Science building as well as the Christensen building. Our other buildings have been funded through student fees as well as the ability for purchase. Speaking of purchase, the Dawson Building, which is one of our very first capital structures of the institution, we had the ability to purchase with your authorization, and that was a great partnership with the City of Henderson. Even, you know, they've been able to give us the ability to reside for the last 23 years, and with refinancing two of our buildings, we were able to complete that purchase, as well as work through some not-so-fun roofing issues that came as a result of all of the rain that we had here in the South. When it comes to our master plan, you also know that we have 512 incredible acres affiliated with the institution, and as a result of that, we moved with a lot of help from the system office to create the Nevada State Campus Lands Corporation. It is a 501c2 organization, and it takes up 228 acres on the west side of campus. We are very delighted to have a 10-member board, and that includes Scott Mulrath, who is the chair of the Henderson Chamber of Commerce, and have really worked to build that out to have great representation ranging from development to utilities to community members, as well as real estate legal. Back in October of 2024, we launched this Smart Growth Initiative. And we were really pleased with this initial event that we held, where we had over 200 engineers, architects, planners, all on campus, really pulling people to the amazing possibility that we have in our area. We work hand in hand with the City of Henderson. So you'll see in your slide deck, the Livable Center study was something that was completed and led by the city and unanimously passed through the city council. But it's the ability to develop that Hershey Kiss area that's right across from campus, thinking about an amazing mixed-use area similar to the district or even Town Square, Tivoli Village, but really having that as an opportunity to help the campus unlock our ability to attract more development. We have the University Area I-11 Interchange Feasibility Study that the City of Henderson is also leading. So long-term looking to have the ability for another way to access the campus. And then also we were successful in writing a grant with the Urban Land Institute. And I'm really excited we'll be hosting a technical assistance panel in May, where we will have a number of experts both locally and regionally, nationally, coming to help us look specifically in a 2 to 5 year period what the next steps are for campus development. Key to any of this, of course, is water. So with the amazing geography of our campus right tucked up against the mountains, we've continued to face a very critical water pressure issue. And we are in a very, very fortunate position to be able to capitalize on the Southern Nevada Water Authority's Horizon Lateral Project, as well as the City of Henderson wanting to piggyback on their project to head out to a reservoir. We actually get two significant things that'll happen as a result of this. One, with your authorization, we would have the ability to reroute that project back to campus in a fashion that would solve our water pressure issue and unlock that 512 acres. In addition to that, we've been working closely with the neighbors and with Councilman Seabock and with city staff to establish that that access road, as it is built, will immediately be an emergency access road, which is incredibly important for the campus, and that long-term, it will be a two-lane road. So in terms of your consideration today, we are looking for the authorization to bond at a $3.6 million rate. Just for context, and this is something from when I started working at the institution in 2017, we've packaged up year after year for the biennium for legislative consideration. Our most recent package, I think, was in the $11 to $12 million price tag. So there is a significant cost savings for the institution, but it would allow us to coordinate with the system and work with the other institution as a bond is established and put forth. Just a couple other exciting things we have. We secured some dollars from the feds for the berm. So the berm is the cut line as you come down the mountain that collects water, but we're able to move that berm backwards, and we're also able to take that dirt and monetize it. And something that I may not have put a fine enough point on, but the whole point around the campus development, in addition to being able to provide an amazing experience for our students, is also being realistic about what the state's capacity is in reference to investing in the mid-tier institution. And so looking to build out in a way where we can have that connectivity and alignment with our partners, but we're able to take that cream off the top and then automatically reinvest it into the campus. We've been working closely with a youth soccer entity called Albion. We've got a letter of intent, and I'm hopeful to bring that back to you for consideration at a future meeting. They're interested in developing 10 acres. We secured some federal dollars for the architectural and engineering for a wellness center, and that's something that we're incorporating into our legislative asks. And to close it out, we'll just give a quick update. In addition to our main campus, really appreciate the support of this body related to North Las Vegas. I'm exceptionally excited the work that our internal team has done. We created the BOLD task force, and that was led by Dr. Tony Shinta and Ryan McInerney. We were very intentional about building that out in a way that had core academic leadership, administrative leadership, student leadership, and they did a considerable amount of work. We are actually ahead of schedule. In your packet, you will see the latest and greatest rendering for our 30,000 square foot building. We have now secured approval from the chancellor for the specific programming of each of the floors, and we've had a great opportunity to work hand in hand with the developer and with the architect firm in terms of making sure there's that outdoor green space, but making sure also that we're able to get every last use out of every square foot of that building. So we've got a lot of activity going. We've got a lot of great, fantastic momentum. Really appreciate the opportunity to update you on some of these key things that are happening on campus and also with North Las Vegas, and very much appreciate your consideration for the water infrastructure component, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, President Lopez Lassiter. I'll open it up. Yes, Regent Brager.
So, Susan Brager, for the record. In regards to your bonding, do you have to go before any entity or?
You are the entity.
Okay, that's what,
yes.
That's what I figured, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Because I've sat on the debt management commission
yes.
before, and some things come through that and some don't. So I thought that's what they did. Pretty amazing that you were able to get that water situation down as much as you did.
Yes.
For where that's located and having to get water on the campus and all the other entities are important. So I don't know if there's any other comments or questions. I'll throw out a motion to accept, and then we can move on through that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Regent Brager.
I'll second.
Oh, okay. And I have a second from Regent Goodman. Regent Fernandez.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to commend NSU on their progress for this. I know when looking at the development and having been to those several meetings in the past, you know, the water infrastructure has really been the aspect here that has delayed a lot of that future progression into developing the campus to where it's at today. So I just want to commend you, NSU, and everyone involved here for the efforts you've done with collaborating with local government and all of these different entities to make this happen. And I look forward to continuing to serve on this committee where we get to see the future growth and infrastructure that will be planned into the future. So it really does excite me and to see where NSU has been and how far it's come and really envisioning a brighter future for it. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, Regent.
Thank you. I want to echo all that, and I agree that the water pressure issue has come before this committee and the board in the past, and I know that that's not the most exciting type of project, and I think that the board has, you know, been frustrated that it was rising in cost, as you've mentioned. So this is really an extraordinary alternative to that. And like you said, it also helps build into the area a much needed, an emergency line directly to campus. There's so much going on in that area right now. So that's very much needed. And I just want to say thank you to the city of Henderson as well for their partnership with Nevada State for making this happen. So, and I agree that there's just so much exciting things happening with Nevada State, both in Henderson and in North of Las Vegas. So we do have a motion and a second. So at this time, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you, President Lopez-Laster.
Can I add just a statement, not to that, just to let, I think it's worthy of, when I was at my Southern Hills Hospital board meeting, I had mentioned NSU, and they said the best nurses that they get come out of your system.
Thank you. That's impactful. Thank you, Regent Brager. Item number 9, lease extension with Nevada Department of Wildlife, Valley Road Field Lab Experiment Station for the University of Nevada, Reno. And for this, I will turn it over to President Brian Sandoval. Just, I did realize Mr. Wixom said that I said item number 9, and I correct myself, it's item number 12.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada in Reno. Pleased to bring forward today a request to extend a long-standing and highly successful partnership between the university and the Nevada Department of Wildlife. This partnership has proved substantial educational and research benefits to our students and faculty for more than 6 decades, and we believe that it should continue well into the future. Since 1960, the university has leased land at the Valley Road Field Lab Experiment Station at 1100 Valley Road to NDAO, the Nevada Department of Wildlife, for their Western Regional Office. This location has proven to be mutually beneficial. NDAO gains a strategic location in close proximity to our campus and our natural resources programs, and the university gains access to professional wildlife management expertise and research collaboration that would not otherwise be available. This partnership has delivered remarkable value to our students and faculty. NDAO maintains highly qualified professional employees on the property who collaborate directly with the university, faculty on big game wildlife management and ecology restoration research. These professionals serve as guest lecturers in our classes, work as adjunct faculty in the College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources, and mentor our graduate students in support of the university's land grant mission. Beyond the classroom and research laboratory, Endow employees serve on planning committees, research committees, search committees, and other committees across the university campus. They provide our students with access to specialized equipment, field research opportunities, and connections to wildlife organizations and funding sources that the university would not otherwise have. This collaboration enriches our research capacity and expands opportunities for student engagement with professional wildlife management practitioners. Importantly, the university retains ownership of the land, while Endow bears all costs, 100% of the costs, for building maintenance operations. Endow pays an annual lease payment of $1. The current lease expires in 2027. Both the university and Endow desire to extend this partnership now to allow for long-term program planning and operational continuity. And by the way, that $1 has been consistent since 1960. The proposed lease extension includes an initial period of 10 years beginning on June 1, 2027, with two additional five-year renewal options. The structure provides ample time for both organizations to plan operational and educational uses well in advance, ensuring uninterrupted collaboration and faculty utilization. And Madam Chair, it's not on this agenda, it's on the ARSA agenda, but I just wanted to call out that what happens here is very complementary to the information item in the ARSA agenda with regard to the proposed veterinary school. So it really does provide access to some of the wildlife animals that would be something that the proposed veterinary school would provide care for. So therefore, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, I respectfully request approval of the lease extension with the Nevada Department of Wildlife for property located at the university's Valley Road Field Lab Experiment Station, 1100 Valley Road, Reno, Nevada. Thank you for your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, President Sandoval. I'll open it up to members. Yes, Regent Gokachia.
Yes, thank you. And as President Sandoval says, that's been there forever. That's one of the few places that's almost as old as I am. but everybody knew to go to 1100 Valley Road if you want Endow and the field experiment station. So if there are no other questions, I'd definitely make a motion to approve.
Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Brager. Any other discussion regarding this item? Yes, Regent Goodman.
I would just like to disclose that I have a son at UNR, and it does not affect my ability to make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry if I missed that at the beginning. Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, so at this time I have a motion from Regent Gokachia and a second from Regent Brager. Any other discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, President Sandoval. Item number 13, resolution for the ground lease, fourth amended lease agreement, and amendment to the agreement regarding the Davidson Academy of Nevada. And for this, I will go to University of Nevada, Reno President Brian Sandoval.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada in Reno. This is going to be a little extensive, Madam Chair, because it is complex but exciting. So I'm pleased to bring forward today three interconnected agreements that will enable the Davidson Academy of Nevada to transition to a new purpose-built facility on our campus while returning approximately 30,000 square feet of centrally located space to the university for academic and administrative use at zero cost to the university. And I think you all know this, but the Davidson Academy, depending on what ranking you look at, is either the number one or number two high school in the United States of America. So we're very pleased with the relationship that we have with them. This board approved the original agreement with the Davidson Academy in December 2005, following the legislature's authorization to establish a university school for profoundly gifted students. For two decades, this partnership has been extraordinarily successful. The Academy has brought gifted students and their families to Reno, integrated them into university programs, and enhanced our academic environment and national reputation. In 2007, the board approved a lease for the Academy to occupy the Jot Travis Student Union Building, supported by a $15 million gift by the Davidson Academy, or the Davidson Foundation. Over the past 2 years, the board has approved 3 amendments to that lease, reflecting our shared commitment to maintain the Academy's presence on campus while evaluating long-term facility options. In December 2025, we provided this board with an information briefing on the proposed ground lease arrangement. Since that time, we've completed final due diligence and the transaction is now ready for your consideration. The Academy has reached capacity in its current location and requires additional space to accommodate future enrollment growth. And this isn't in the prepared remarks, but if you're familiar with the Jot Travis Student Union, and I am dating myself, that was my student union when I was a student there in the 80s. And, you know, it just doesn't have the modern amenities that an academy of this caliber is going to require. So the proposed solution involves 3 related agreements that work together. First, a ground lease between the Board of Regents and CoreLink DA Holdings LLC, a single-purpose entity affiliated with the Davidson Academy. This ground lease creates the legal framework for developing the new facilities. Second, a 4th Amendment lease agreement with the Davidson Academy that establishes an orderly transition from the Jot Travis building. When the Academy begins classes in the new facility, the Jot Travis lease will automatically terminate within 90 to 180 days, giving the Academy operational flexibility while ensuring timely return of the space to the university. And another, by the way, one of our biggest challenges is there's so much interest in that building from all the different colleges on campus because it really is centrally located and very nice space. Third, an amendment to the 2005 agreement with the Davidson Institute that updates facility location provisions to accommodate the Academy's operations in both the current and future locations, ensuring continuity of our fundamental partnership. So let me, I'd like to highlight the key terms of the ground lease. The initial term runs for 40 years after project completion. The tenant has 2 10-year extension options, which will be automatically extended if bonds remain outstanding, plus 1 additional 10-year extension at market rates. And the annual rent is $1. The nominal rent reflects the public benefit nature of the Academy and its educational mission. This is structured as an absolute triple net lease. The tenant bears all the costs, property taxes if assessed, insurance, maintenance, and utilities, which is different than the relationship we had with the Jot Travis Student Union. The university bears no financial obligation for development, construction, or operation. The development will be financed through tax-exempt revenue bonds issued by a qualified conduit issuer. Neither the university nor the Board of Regents has any financial liability for these bonds. Most importantly, at lease expiration or termination, all improvements become university property at zero cost. We gain purpose-built facilities developed entirely at the tenant's expense that will ultimately become university assets. And again, another, by the way, that with regard to architecture, it has to be consistent and complementary to the campus architecture. So it'll be a very attractive building that blends right into the campus. So the timing of all this is strategically important. The current Jot Travis lease expires in 2027. The Academy has outgrown its space, as I mentioned, and needs room to expand and modernize. This transaction allows us to support the Academy's continued success while simultaneously reclaiming approximately 30,000 square feet in the Jot Travis building for university academic and administrative needs. This project exemplifies the kind of innovative public-private partnership that benefits everyone. The Davidson Academy gets the purpose-built facility it needs to continue serving profoundly gifted students. The university maintains and strengthens a 20-year partnership that enhances our reputation, and we ultimately acquire significant campus infrastructure at no cost while reclaiming valuable existing space. So therefore, Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, the university respectfully requests approval of the resolution authorizing the university to enter into the ground lease with CoreLink DA Holdings LLC, the fourth amended lease agreement with the Davidson Academy of Nevada, and the amendment to the 2005 agreement with the Davidson Institute for Talent and Development. And I'd also like to compliment and thank Mr. Wixom for all his assistance and hard work. This is really complicated stuff. I know that's not a legal term, there a lot went into this, Madam Chair, and we're really pleased about this because it is going to be a beautiful state-of-the-art facility, well located next to our engineering building on campus, and again will elevate us that much more. So thank you, and we would appreciate your positive consideration.
Thank you, President Sandoval. I couldn't agree with you more. I will give Mr. Wixom a few moments to comment on this item.
Thank you, Chair. Michael Wixom for the record. This is just a ministerial observation. You may have noticed when you looked at the body of the document itself that there were a couple of pagination and numbering errors, and that happened because when the document was converted to Word, from Word to PDF as part of the agenda process, there was an anomaly in that process. It's a mystery that we still haven't figured out. But I just wanted to let you know that the substance will be exactly the same. It's just when the document is finalized for execution, we'll correct the anomaly.
And Madam Chair, may I say one more thing?
Of course.
I neglected to mention Mr. Klinger. Mr. Klinger put, just hours and hours into this, and the negotiations with the Davidson Academy and its representatives and moving through the documents with Mr. Wixom, this would not have happened without him. So I wanted to thank him on the record as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes, Regent Cocochia.
Yes, thank you, President Sandoval. I need to walk. Now, okay, in 27, will they have their project completed enough by 27 to move out of the Jock Travis?
Yeah. Madam Chair,
the way I understand it?
To you and through you to Regent Cocochia, that is the hope. And so I think.
Okay, but in case something starts slipping or there will be the ability to move beyond the 27 deadline for the Jock Travis building.
Madam Chair, to you and through you to Regent Cocochia. So there is that 60 to 90 day notice period. So if the construction schedule does slip, they can stay there as long as they need until that building's completed.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Regent Goodman.
Do the students from that academy, do they matriculate typically to UNR? It seems like it's would be natural, but I don't know. Just a quick question. So,
Madam Chair, to you and through you, to Regent Goodman. So obviously they're taking our university classes as their students, and many of them go to the University of Nevada of the East, like Harvard and MIT and those types of Yale and those types of schools. And so, by virtue of my position as president of the university, I sit as an ex officio member of the Davidson Academy Board, and I actually think they're meeting today or tomorrow simultaneously with these meetings. So my wife and I attend the graduation ceremonies, and they all go to some of the most elite schools in the country. Every now and then, one or two of them will enroll at the university, which we love very much, but we're hoping with the construction of this building and the expansion of enrollment on that campus that perhaps we'll get more of those students. But I think for perspective, these students come from all over the country, and often their families relocate from wherever they are throughout the United States and move to Reno just so their kids can attend that school.
Wonderful. And if I have just one more question, I just want to commend you. I have to say, I love the creativity that you all create. I mean, it's amazing with the business building, how you built that, what you're doing here, these partnerships. It's really something to behold, to be honest, that, that kind of work it's impressive, and I'm grateful for you thinking outside of the box to do this kind of work. I think we need to be doing more of that kind of stuff throughout the system, because it's just very, it's very appropriate. So thank you very much for that. And also, I have a son at UNR. Just want to disclose that. It does not affect my ability to make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Cocochia.
Yes, thank you, and I might have missed it. What's the enrollment at Davidson today? Could you tell me? Anybody know? I could Google it, but I'm not that techy, right?
I don't want to give a wrong answer. I think it's less than 100, but it's more than 50. I mean, they also have an online program where they have students participate as well. But we'll get you that number, Regent Gokicea.
Just curious.
And for the record, Brian Sandoval. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very good. We don't have a motion yet on this item, so I will invite my colleagues to make a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Regent Gokicea, and I would make a motion to approve the lease agreement between CoreLink and UNR and the Board of Regents.
Second, Regent Goodman.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that it is the motion and second would be for the ground lease, the fourth amended lease agreement, and the amendment to the agreement, the original agreement. Yes. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, any other discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much, President Sandoval. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
All right. We are now on to new business, item number 14. Is there any new business for the committee? No, it's okay. Hearing none, I will move to public comment. Is there any public comment here at CSN? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
Are no callers for public comment at this time? No callers.
Thank you very much. So at this time, I will adjourn this meeting at 9:57.